Oh, the world is looking for peace because it is filled with conflict, personal conflict, home conflict, conflict in different parts of our just life, such as on the job, conflicts within politics, conflicts militarily. And peace is something that is just constantly desired. Well, the reason we have constant struggle is found in Galatians chapter 5, if you'll look there with me. This is in the context of our little study we're doing on Wednesday nights here throughout the summer, Galatians chapter 5. And we read in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Great truth. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." There is a tremendous battle in every person. And that battle especially is real in the life of a believer between the flesh and the Spirit. And in the world at large, it's between God's Spirit and righteousness versus the sin depravity that man has. And so God created a very peaceful world. I don't think we can even fully accept by looking at what it's like when we're truly at rest with the Lord. But other than that, we can't understand what it would have been like pre-fall in the Garden of Eden. Perfect harmony in every area. No predators, no fear, no police, just nothing that would mark any conflict. Full satisfaction and contentment. God created a perfect, peaceful universe. There was one being who was not at peace. His name was Lucifer. He had been given the highest of all privileges of all created beings prior to the creation of man. He was the anointed cherub, and he had the privilege of reflecting the glory of God in such a way that it reminded all of the universe to worship God. You know, it's interesting how those that oftentimes have the most are the least content. Well, it certainly was the case with Lucifer. And he let his dissatisfaction turn into rebellion. And so he comes to Eve, and his temptation was, God is holding you back from being like him, and he is not looking out for your best interest by not allowing you to be part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You'll be like him if you have that. And so that temptation, unfortunately, was realized, and from that point on, discontent, peace, lack of peace, conflict, war has been part of the human race. So what we need to understand, folks, is anything outside of God will disturb the peace. God is peace. God creates that which is peaceful. God created a perfect universe. So therefore, we better go back to the God who created life, who is life, and who is peace, to find out how we can have order and peace in our life. And so this battle between the flesh and the Spirit for a believer, when this is not won by what verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can be in order. You can have victory. You can have peace. But when that's not occurring, a Christian can have awful turmoil. In fact, I think sometimes Christians are greater candidates for anxiety, turmoil, and emotional problems than are the people in the world because of the conflict we do have, especially if we know what we ought to be doing and we're not doing it. I'm telling you, my friend, if you know to do right and you don't do it, you won't win. You will never find what you're looking for. You will be walking away from the God of peace rather than to the source of peace in your life. So that brings us to the verses that are our text here for this series, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit, part of the fruit of walking in the Spirit, so the flesh is not dominating, is going to be obviously then peace with God and the peace of God. Oftentimes, as I've said many times, people will wonder, how do I know that I'm walking in the Spirit? Well, one of the very clear evidences is a spiritual peace that then dominates the other aspects of our life. So let's just talk about this for a couple of minutes here tonight. We need to then, first of all, acknowledge that God's rule is the only way to bring peace. In other words, walk in the Spirit. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit is the source of all peace because God is the God of peace. Very simple, but we don't believe it. We need to realize that, as I've already said, He created peace, as Isaiah 41 says. His rule is peace. He is called in that great messianic passage, Isaiah 9:7, the Prince of Peace. And He is the one that will give an answer of peace. 1 Corinthians 14 to the church there says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And so we've got to get a firm conviction in our soul, and this seems so simple, but we need to get it, that the only place peace is found is when God rules. Let me say it again. The only condition, the only circumstance in which genuine peace will abound is under the rule of God, for He is the God of peace. Therefore, then, very clearly, especially in line with the fruit of the Spirit here, the second point would be submit to that rule. Submit to God's rule. The problem is never going to be that God is incapable of bringing peace. It's going to be our pushing off of His attempt to give us peace. Peace, the lack of peace, is never God's fault or circumstantial. It is always a heart issue of rebellion. May I say that again? The lack of peace is never God's fault or even based upon circumstances. It is a condition of our heart in which we're not submitting to the God of peace. That's why you got to believe. You got to get to that conviction. The only place there truly is peace is with the rule of God. Therefore, if that conviction is true, then we must come to the conclusion that we have to submit to the God of peace. We must be under His rule for us to then experience divine peace. It's obvious, but it's important for us to understand that. That's why, folks, we're out recruiting, because we need to help people, number one, come to peace with God. There's no peace of God until you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And remember what it was like before you were saved, when you did not know, when you pillowed your head, what would happen if your life went from you. Oh, to know that we have the peace that comes from God, as Romans 5 says, peace with God. And that is so important. But then we need to get down to the specifics of submitting to God's moral order in life. God is holy. God is clear in His word as to how He made this universe function, how He made us to function. And so this book gives us very clearly the aspects of life, how to think, how to operate, how to have relationships, what our priorities should be. And if we come in order with God's revealed word, then the God of peace will be able to give us peace. Psalm 37:37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah 48:18, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. But when we take life into our own hands and think that we can fulfill our desires, we can get out of order like our entire culture is right now. We can do it our way. Isaiah 48, 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Oh, everybody's trying to have nice places of resort and be able to retreat into places for tranquility and peace, and they may momentarily relax, but they will not find peace in their soul. There is no peace, and when God says it, he means it, to the wicked. Such a striving for peace everywhere you go. Jeremiah 6:14 saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And I think right now, folks in our area are very aware of the fact we don't have peace. And I think if ever there was an opportunity to give the message of the gospel of peace, we have it right now. And talking about submitting to the rule of God, not only do we need to submit to the revealed word of God as to the order how we are to live, but folks, God has a specific will for every one of us. The specific will for every one of us fits within God's revealed will in his word. We have peace as we submit to the perfect way of God, of how he created us and the order in which we should live. But you know, people can even come to that conclusion and still be stubborn in God's will for them individually. And that's a tragic thing. People have a heart to do right and still end up with no peace. God wants us to serve him with the giftedness that we have in very specific ways. We are created to serve him and glorify him. And there has to come to any Christian who's going to really experience the fruit of the Spirit, has to come that dying to self in which my life is not my own and I truly do give it up. And I am living what you want me to live. You know, it's interesting. I've seen young people come up through Christian schools or good churches, and they really become convinced of the Word of God. And they become pretty good political conservatives, but they still end up with the same inability to enjoy all of that, and they're very discontent because they're not in the will of God specifically for their life. They never did fully become a living sacrifice. And so the deep peace comes when you know you're doing what you ought to do. Are you in the will of God? Right now, are you really clearly in the will of God? Are you willing for that? Are you in line with God, God's way and in his word? And then thirdly, we have to trust as we acknowledge that God's rule is the only way to have peace. We surrender to his rule. And then we've got to actually take steps to trust that that's the only way to have peace and not to try to solve it ourselves. I'm amazed how we get really anxious trying to deal with our anxiety. We really get stressed out trying to be organized. We get all bent out of shape trying to not be bent out of shape. No, the fact is, it's God that gives us peace. I've said this so often, but I love John 14, 15, and 16. It's his love, it's his joy, and it's his peace. Tonight, every believer here can have the same peace that Jesus has at the throne, because he said, I will give you my peace. My peace I leave. His peace. I'm telling you, folks, it can be the hardest time in your life. And when you acknowledge him as God and you actually depend upon him and yield to him, it is an unexplainable thing, but the peace of God that passeth all understanding just comes into your very spirit. Some of the deepest times of peace and joy have been at the very times it would have seemed impossible. And I'm telling you, it's a sweet thing. You might have a headache and you may be crying, but there's a peace that the world does not understand. It's the peace of God. Listen, when you're in unity with the God of this universe, you've got peace. I don't care what all's happening around you. When you are locked into unity with him, you've got peace, and you actually have his peace. The Holy Spirit gives divine peace. Your spirit, since it's regenerated, has the ability to experience divine realities. And they're a foretaste of what heaven's going to be like. That's why believers do such tremendous things in the face of tremendous odds, because they have stepped into the reality of God's very person, and they have peace and joy in midst of some of the most difficult times. And so we need to trust that it is true that God will give my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And folks, we have to have times of retreat. We must follow the Sabbath principle, but it's all for the purpose of finding rest at the throne. And it's very important that you short-circuit your anxiety and pressures of life that are inevitable by daily getting to the throne. His peace. His peace, his peace. And when you get his peace, all of a sudden you're okay. And when your thinking gets squared around to be biblical and you're experiencing that miracle in your spirit, everything else changes, everything comes into proportion, and you never do allow that anxiety to build up to any emotional problem. And so it's very important that we do allow God and believe God that he will give us this divine ability. So that means that we must not trust human strength. We must not strive for this. We need to instead rest, as Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." If our mind is stayed upon him, we can have perfect peace. So my friends, even though there are legitimate situations that bring anxiety and stress and other emotional negatives in our life, if we cannot at those times look to the Lord and experience his peace by trusting in him, that means we're not surrendered and we're not believing that his rule is right. You can't trust if you are not in submission. Submission always precedes trust. They're two sides of the same coin. You've got to believe God, submit to him, then trust him. All of it can go together. But any Christian who is independent of God's will cannot trust him for the peace that they need in the time of the storm. So, I got good news for you. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. How many hours of the day do you have the Spirit of God if you're a believer? All of them, right? 24. You have him every minute, every second. He is with you for eternity, which means how much possibility is there for the deepest of peace? Continual. He never leaves us or forsakes us. It's our choice. It is not circumstances. God never turns his back. He never leaves us. We can have peace. It's our choice, even right now, to choose to submit to God and say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you. Spirit of God, take control. If there's something that's holding that back, show me tonight. Not for the sake of peace for myself, but peace so that I can be all that I ought to be for your glory." Let's bow for prayer. Simple message here tonight, but it is one that is so crucial for us to really get into our thoughts, because the minute we don't get it, Satan's able to tempt us to go different directions to try to get meaning to life, and it's so tragic. Are we willing to really get a hold of the fact that God's rule means peace, that it's only submitting to God's rule that will bring peace, and we need to trust then God to do what he says, that it's miraculous? Very simple. But you'd say tonight, "You know, Pastor, I don't have the peace of God nearly like I should," which means I am obviously not walking in the Spirit like I should. which means that I've got to alter some areas of my life. I've got to surrender to Him. I've got to surrender to His Word. I've got to surrender to His will. I've got to believe Him. I don't know what it is. I've got to quit trusting myself. I've got to be fully yielded to His purposes. Tonight I realize that living without peace is not glorifying God. And I realize it's my choice. It's not circumstances. It's certainly not God's fault. It is my choice not to experience peace. And I am going to make the choice tonight to ask God, help me understand this, and make the choices that will allow Him to do that kind of work in my heart. And that's why I'm lifting my hand. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand if that's your heart tonight? I need to make the choices so that I am living in continual evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Just slip them up so we can pray together if God's worked in your heart. Amen. Lord, I do pray that you will help us to understand that you are all-powerful. And Lord, when we have peace in our heart, we'll have courage. We'll have boldness. We'll do what we ought to do. Lord, it's the anxiety, stress, self-focus that gets us paralyzed in accomplishing your will. And Lord, that's very important these next few days. As we go out, as we take time to especially serve you in Bible school directly, we need the peace of God to rule our hearts. And so, Lord, would you work in the heart of each one here that acknowledge some need that is holding back? And I pray that you will work very directly now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.